Hey, family, I'm an addict and I'm Veronica. And I'm grateful to be here. I wanna thank God for allowing me to be here. So listen, I'm grateful to this area for asking me. And the reason why I'm really grateful is because most of you guys know me and you still choose to pick me, and so I thank God for that. And when I got here, it was a long ride here, and I got this GPS system, right? I got a GPS system, and it took us like the back road, and it took us like an extra hour and a half to get here, and I was real frustrated and real discouraged, because I kind of had my mind set on that it was a straight run. But instead of it being a straight run, the GPS system gave us the shortest way, and I wanted the fastest way, and we came the shortest way. Right? And that's the thing about this recovery thing. That's the thing about the step process. A lot of us want the fastest way or the shortest way, but it's not always the best way. So again, you know, I'm grateful that I finally did make it to the step process. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to share on the 11th step. I don't take it for granted. And the reason why I don't take it for granted, because I just need to tell you a little bit of my story. My story is that I didn't know nothing about a higher power, God, religious zeal, religion, cults, nothing. What I did, I smoked crack. I believe in crack cocaine. That's what I believed in. I believe in hustling. I believe in gambling. I believe that was all the power that was greater than me. I don't know nothing about nothing until I made it to the room of Narcotics Anonymous. And the Just for the Day literature talks about what we knew before we came to Narcotics Anonymous did what? Almost killed us. I guess I'm by myself with that one. Okay, so look. I'm going to talk about the 11th step, and I'm going to do the best I can to keep it as simple as possible, but I know that there's people in the room that has some knowledge about the 11th step, because really people who come to the 11th, listen, if you come into the step workshops past 10, that means you got something in you, and you're trying to like further your growth in this program. And so I'm grateful for the people who are like on the spiritual journey with me, because the 11th step talks something about this is our road to spiritual growth. That's what the 11th step says. It says this is our road to spiritual growth. And listen, I make no apologies about this. I am a literature baby. The literature has saved my life. I believe in this literature. I chew this literature. I eat this literature. I do. And listen, and guess why I do it? Because listen, none of us are perfectly good or perfectly bad. So I need to eat this literature. Not for the perfectly bad part, but for when I think I'm perfectly good. So this literature, listen, I want to read something real quick out of 11th step, out of It Works How and Why, and I'm going to read it real quick. I want to tell you that the 11th step in a basic text talks about surrender, right? But how about in this and it's 11th step, and It Works How and Why. Guess what it says? I just told you that I do the literature for the part about me that I think is perfectly good, because I don't like to talk about the part about me that's perfectly bad. So this 11th step that talks about, listen, the 11th step talks about this. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, right? So look, guess what's so lovely about the literature? Is that it's not real deep, but however, the worst thing you can do with this literature is read it for somebody else. Usually, we say, ooh, let me read this, because I know that, you know, Joni gonna get it. man, it's going to hit Joni right off. No. Listen, I was telling somebody earlier about the landing pad. And this literature, let me tell you something. How about this? How about this literature is something just like this fire pit in front of us? Just hang in here with me just for a couple of seconds. Listen, you see all them sparks coming out of there? And you see how all of a sudden, although it comes from like a whole bunch of heat and a whole bunch of fire, how it just dissipates. Now listen, this literature is the same way. Like, it comes from a whole lot of labor, and it comes from a whole lot of love, and it comes from a whole lot of experience. But however, if it doesn't have a landing pad, it will dissipate. It will just keep going and going and going. And if it doesn't have a place in you to land, it'll just go. It'll just go. And the thing about it is that this literature shapes our personality. I've been doing this literature. Next year, listen, next month, look, I have 22 years. How about that? And I still do literature. I do literature like my life depends on it. So listen, let me talk about this one word that I got out of this. Listen. This is what surrender is. The Roy Khan Wide book says on page 107 of step 11, it says, this is what surrender is. A heartfelt belief in our own fallibility. It said fallibility. It said in our own heartfelt belief of our own fallibility as human beings. And an equally heartfelt decision to rely on a power greater than our own. Right? So listen, I do the literature because of my heartfelt belief in my own fallibility. Guess what? I fall. And I have a heartfelt belief that, guess what? As I keep moving forward in this program, I'm going to fall. That's not the problem. The problem is that I make an equally heartfelt decision that I'm going to rely on a power greater than myself to help me get up from the fall. Am I going, listen, with my good sharing self, with my 21-year having self, am I still going to ask for help? Do I still believe that there's something still greater than me that I could still rely on when I fall at 21 years clean? Can I still surrender? Listen. So guess what it went on to say? It also went on to say that surrender, you cannot recover or surrender alone. What else I got to do then? What else I got to do? It says, however, we cannot recover or surrender alone. We must build on our surrender. You got to keep attaching stuff to your surrender. It don't stop by just surrender. You got to keep on building. That, you know what that means? You got to keep on living. You got to keep living. And it ain't nothing talking about when light jump out the bush. Where they get that from? I don't even know. You got to keep building. Guess what happens after you surrender and you fall down? We all fell down. Listen. You got to fall forward, though. You got to fall forward. Listen, when you fall back, that's because you used again. You don't fall backwards. Going back is a conscious choice. We stumble. Guess how I know we stumble? Because the literature talks about we must build on our surrender by taking action just as we have in the previous steps. In the 10 steps, we begin to practice discipline required to live spiritually on a daily basis, right? This way I'm going. How about this? And I'm going to give my friend Doug some room, right? How about this? Enforced morality. You know what enforced morality is? Enforced morality talks about this. It talks about enforced morality lacks the power that comes to us when we choose to live a spiritual life. So listen. How about this here? How about when we go around here and we start putting our what we found while we slipping around here and we floating around on our religious deals. And so somebody come up to us and they ask us, how did it work for you? And you throw your stuff on them. And you tell them what they need to believe. That's robbing them of their choice. When we go to meetings in Narcotics Anonymous, we have fellowship in our own right. When we go to meetings in the Narcotics Anonymous program, and we talk about we're addicts, we share on this level. We share on a power greater than ourselves. We share about a higher power. We share about spirituality. That's what we share about. We don't close our meetings with amen. We don't close the meetings in Narcotics Anonymous with amen. We don't close the meeting in Narcotics Anonymous with our Father. That's not what we do here. And listen, I'm her. I go after the issues. I do. And the reason why I'm here this long and the reason why I'm so excited about this is because you know what? Listen, I like to smoke crack cocaine. It's something real nice about smoking crack cocaine. I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to depend on nothing. All I got to do is smoke crack. Don't depend on me. Don't look for me. Just know I'm smoking crack. So why this literature shuts my personality? So I'll be damned. If a program this awesome could take me out the streets of New York City and change my entire life. And listen, guess how it got here for me? It wasn't about knowing no God. It wasn't about even being able to say God. It wasn't about even believing that God loved me. I don't know nothing about that. Guess where that came from? Guess why I got this thing now? Guess why I understand its process? It was because, and it just for today reading, it talks about there's a spirit and an energy that's felt in our meetings. It talks about this here. It says there's a spirit and there's an energy that's felt in our meetings. And it says, this can be the newcomer's first concept of a higher power. That's why I'm here. For the spirit and the energy that's felt in the meetings. I don't care about personality-driven stuff. I don't care about popularity. I don't care what you thought about me with my two outfits and my bus pass. I don't care. I was so desperate when I got here. And there was a spirit, listen, and its energy. That was my first concept. It was my first concept. I felt it. I didn't say I saw it. I ain't see nothing. I felt that energy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know about that power? And check this out. Remember I talked about the landing pad? You know how a plane fly around in the air? And then you got the people that's going like this. You know them folks? Yeah, them people, right? So listen, those people, right? And listen, the plane can't come down till them people's go. Plane can't land. So check it out. Look, this miniature can't land until I go like this. The literature can't land, so I got all kind of literature. It's all over the place, but it ain't got nowhere to go until I surrender, until I make an admission. So look, that's why I go after the concerns of the program. That's why. I go into the issues that concern the program, because it really did change my life. It really did give me another chance to do the damn thing. I really did learn how to live clean, just for the day, one day at a time. I'm not up here 21 damn years later. I'm up here one day at a time, just for the day, 21 years later. That's why I'm here. And guess why? For real. Because there was a power greater than me, and it wasn't about nothing else. It wasn't about, too many of us get this, we be floating. The 11th step and the basic text talks about you be floating around here on the religious field. Too many of us floating. Too many of us got, it talks about we slipping out on our old ways, and then we floating around on these religious zeals. And then we're not giving a newcomer. We don't have blessings that come in the rooms of narcotics anonymous. That's not what the literature say. Listen, literature is our language, because literature is what permeates the spirit of another addict. Literature. The language in this literature. I couldn't wait to get up here. I couldn't wait to tell it. Listen, literature is our language. That's when we get to the program in Narcotics Anonymous and we get to the meetings, we talk about literature. It's a whole lot of popular personalities around here, but they ain't got no literature. They ain't changed their language. They still talking about gators and players and haters and pimps and hoes and tricks and heroin and crack and cum and money and degrees and counseling and being a doctor and all the blessings that they God gave them, and they've been blessed and they're too stressed and all that. That's not what this program is. Literature is our language. So, improve our conscious contact. So check this out. In the 10th step, it says in the 10th step, we receive the conscious contact. In the 10th step. In the 11th step, we have proven. See, get it? Literature. Freaking literature is our language. In the 11th step, we have proven on that contact. Get it? It's a difference. The 10th step sets the stage for the improving of the conscious contact. Here we go with the landing pad. The 10th step is the landing pad that's going to, like, listen, take us now into being able to build on our conscious contact. To be able to talk about, check this out, I got a personal program. Watch this, I got a personal relationship. Watch this, thank you for your God, but guess what, I got my own. Guess what, thank you for allowing me to fall. For allowing me to find my humanness. For allowing me that. Thank you. But now, because guess what? My first concept came from the meeting place. My first concept came from when there was a loving and caring God. My first concept come from when there was a conscious choice. There was a conscious decision given to me. That's where my first concept come from. No, I didn't run an area service. Didn't have him in me. I will fight you. No, I don't know how to understand and be understood when I got here. I needed to sit down. Shut up and listen. So, check this out. So I could feel the spirit and the energy. I got to be able to, listen. It wasn't at the first meeting, probably. I don't know when it happened. I know. Check this out. I knew when it took off in me when I did my third step. I know that. I know that it says that you don't want to pause here. I know it say that. I know it says, if you don't take action in 11 step, our program will cease. It say that. I got that. Right? So now look. How about this here? How about, so enforced morality lacks the power that comes. So listen, how about this? How about, because now I thank this program. Now check this out. I ain't that girl. I'm really not the girl floating. I'm not the floater. I'm really not. You know who I am? I'm the one that I believe this here. I'm so respectful of the disease of addiction that lives in me. It ain't somewhere outside of me. It ain't in no substance, no person, no nothing outside of me. The disease of addiction lives inside of me, and it's called obsession and compulsion. The inability to stop it once I start it. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And on page 81, it talks about the first thing we must do is get clean. With that, we have the greatest possible advantage over the disease of addiction. And then it goes, it says something like this. And for this, we are grateful. For this, for to have the greatest possible advantage over the disease comes through getting clean, man. So we don't never want to take abstinence for granted. Like that, after a certain while, being abstinent ain't shit. If you recovering your butt off, abstinence don't matter. Listen, I'm in other areas of my life that abstinence, not having abstinence in other areas of my life, mess with my recovery. Oh yeah. Not having abstinence in other areas of my life. Listen, drugs is just a symptom. Listen, it's 5%. I don't know, Jamel, if it's 5 or 10. But I think it's 10. Jamel, I think it's 10. I know George said 5, but I'm going to go with the 10. Right? Now, listen, that's drugs. I got a whole 90% of a person that says, in the FBI page, it says, my body, my mind, and my spirit was affected. I'm working on that chick right there. I'm not confused about that thing right there. I'm not confused that the first step, you got me? I'm not confused that the first step and the step working guide talks about, listen, I've been asking in a while. Hung around a while. Asking it from drugs. But forced to face powerlessness, check this out. Guess what it say? In other areas. I ain't confused about this. Forced to face it. I ain't want to face it because it's good for me to say, it's easier for me to say that crack jacked me up. I wanted to say that crack jacked me. I like to say, if it wasn't for that crack, I'd be jacked. If it wasn't for that crack, I'd be all right. But listen, I ain't did crack in 21 years. I've been forced to face powerlessness in other areas. So I got other areas, listen, that I have to, like, consciously, listen, get some juts for the days in. I know ain't nobody in here like that. I know ain't nobody got no other areas. I know I do. I know I can tore out the frame in those areas. I got some other areas that got some juts for the day in them. I got some of those. Right? Now look, listen. So, if I don't use what I have, I'm going to lose what I have. If I don't use it, I'm going to lose it. So I don't get in here and take it out there and use it with just the cashier. I don't take it here and go to church. I seek it out there, of course. But guess where I give it back? Guess where I give it at? Man, listen. So look. Improving my conscious contact is this, and I'm going to close with this here. Improving my conscious contact simply means this. And praying only for knowledge pent up his will for me and the power to carry that out. And listen, why am I so passionate? It's because I know what it means. And I tell you what. Improving my conscious contact. I got it. Now I know I got it. And listen, I can't forget where I got it from. You see what I'm saying? I didn't get it from a religious belief system. I didn't. Get it? Look. I didn't get it from a religious system. Did you check that out? I didn't get a conscious contact from a religious outside enterprise that we be trying to endorse up in these parts. We don't endorse none of that here. Guess where I got it at? I got it from the spirit that's right here. I improve it by listening. When I talked to my friend that I met tonight, I got a friend that I met here tonight, and I kept saying, it's not a lot of women here. But I got a friend that I met here tonight. I don't know if she's in here or not, but her name is, ain't no anonymity when we at the meeting, right? Okay, her name is Danielle. And I met her son. And I took like these really nice pictures of her son. And then we went to the clean time countdown. And then I met her. And I improve by letting her now get a glimpse of humility. By letting her see that what they call spiritual giants around here. Listen, we just as humble, and I'm still building on my surrender. Because listen, I don't believe that nobody, the newcomer need to reach out for help. But listen, this is a lifelong program. So I reached out to my friend named Danielle. Because guess what Danielle need to feel? Danielle need to feel the spirit and the energy that's felt too. So listen. There's a spirit. Check this out. I didn't just feel it. Guess what? How about this? How about I engage that feeling? How about I engage that spirit? How about I took it? How about I made a choice to take it? How about I took it, and it's on the inside of me now, and it's that energy and that spirit now that fills my void. So I'm clear that there's nothing else outside of me that can fill my void. I'm clear about that, right? So now let me say this. How about I was reading Works How and Why, and it got this word, man. I like fallibility, but it got this word called eclectic. And I kept saying election. And I wanted to keep saying electric. But it said eclectic. Eclectic. Guess what it meant? It meant like, somebody explained it to me today. It means this here. I'm going to do it and I'm going to build on it because it's real good to me. It means that some stuff that go together don't seem like it should go together, but it works out. Wow. Stuff that don't fold to go together, don't even look like from the onset it should go together, but it gives us enlightenment, right? I'm going to throw this out there. How about this? One addict helping another addict. How about one addict reaching out to another addict? That don't go together. But if you put things that don't look like in this program that should go together, how about junkies in a basement of the church? That don't go together. But it gives us a sense of, listen, and then it said, you choose your source. You choose where your source comes from. So I'm going to build that word eclectic. I'm going to build that word. So I'm done. Listen, I'm going to close with this. I thank you for listening to me, and I thank you for allowing me to get up here to share my experience, strength, and hope. And once again, I improved my conscious contact by using what I have in the program that gave it to me. You gave it to me. You said if I keep coming, I can have it. You said if I keep coming, I can get it too. You said if I keep coming, freedom ain't free, but the action that I take is that I just keep coming. And listen, I don't come just on clean time. I don't come to just help my sponsor celebrate. Guess what I come for? I come because I'm in other areas of my life that I promise you need some spirit and energy as well. I love this thing. I do. I love it. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's have another round of applause for Veronica. I don't know how Doug's going to follow that one, but we're going to leave it up to him. I'll give you Doug B. from Washington, number one home group.
Hi, family. My name's Doug. I'm an addict. I was trying to rush up here to the podium so I could grab Veronica's book before she sat down. Talk about God having a sense of humor. What happened to me was that Art called me, I really think it was in May, and he asked me to come up here and share, and what I heard him say was that he wanted me to share on the 11th tradition. Sorry, on the 11th step. And it was real powerful for me because that number 11 has a lot of meaning for me right now. I have 10 years and 11 months clean. And so in another couple of weeks, I'm going to celebrate 11 years in the program. And I love the 11th step. And so I started reading the literature. And I started thinking about the 11th step and planning what I was going to say and talking about the 11th step and taking notes on the 11th step. And God speaks to me. So we come up here and we sat down. We were listening to Lindsay share. And I looked over. Veronica was sitting across the aisle from me. She had her books in her hand. And I looked at her books. And God spoke to me and said, "That's Veronica." And so I made it a point to go over and introduce myself. I didn't know that was her name. I said, "I'm Doug." She said, "I'm Veronica." I said, "I'm going to be talking about the 11th step with you." She said, "I'm talking about the 11th step. You're talking about the 11th tradition." So I gave a real good lead this morning on the 11th step. I wasn't even sure what the 11th tradition was, so I just looked it up right here in the book. But the 11th tradition is our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. So I can't speak just briefly on the traditions. When I came into the program, my home group today is Washington 1. My first home group was Washington 2. Washington 1 is the oldest meeting in Washington. It's a Monday night meeting. When I came in and got clean in 1998, and they told me I needed a home group, I chose a Friday night meeting, which is Washington 2, because it was such a small meeting. This many people on a Friday night would have been a huge meeting. And there was only one other home group member. And so I told her I wanted to join the home group. She said, "Good. You're the secretary. Here's the keys. Get here next week, 6:30. Do you know how to make coffee?" And so I was involved in service right from the beginning. And a couple of months later, the church we were meeting in sold out to the college and moved. And we had to find a new meeting place. And so I got involved in a campaign to find a new meeting place. I was writing letters and making phone calls. And I found a new church for us to meet in. And they had just put an addition on the church. And the addition had carpets and it had couches. And we started meeting there. And the meeting began to grow. And during the course of this time, it stopped being our meeting. And it became my meeting. And as it grew, what happened was some people with time came and joined the home group. And so we went from having group consciences where it was two or three people that lasted 3 minutes to having 10 people and going on and on and on. And I remember a woman coming to the group conscience and suggesting that we change the meeting format. And we got into an argument. How dare she contemplate changing the format of my meeting? And so we began to argue and fight. And she told me, she just a little woman, but at one point she looked at me and she said, "I'm going to throw you down the stairs." And I don't think that she was capable of it, but she sure looked like she was willing to try. And we talked a little while longer, and then we decided to table the motion till next week. And we went home, and I walked out of there thinking to myself, forget them, they don't need me, I'm never going back. And the next morning, I ran into a member with time, and I told him what happened, and I said, forget them, they don't need me, I'm never going back. And he argued with me, and he took me over to the home of a woman who was heavily involved in the program, and I told her what happened, I said, I'm done with them, I'm never going back. And she told me, Doug, you have to go back. And so I argued with her, and I ended up calling my sponsor and telling him what happened. I said, forget them, I'm never going back. And my sponsor said, Doug, you have to go back. And so by the time the next meeting came around, I had prayed about it. I had read about it. I went back prepared to compromise. And it was a funny thing. We argued and talked some more, but they never did change the meeting format. But had they changed it, I would have been okay with it, because what I learned was that I need Narcotics Anonymous a lot more than Narcotics Anonymous needs me. And so I was prepared to compromise, and I got a taste of the fact that it's not until we get involved in service that someone points out personal recovery depends on NA unity. And I began to get a taste of the unity of the program, and I began to practice the traditions as well. Whenever I go to tradition meetings, because I like the literature as well, and I go to literature meetings, and I always say that the steps protect me from suicide, that the traditions protect me from homicide. The steps protect me from me. The traditions protect you from me. And so I try to work the traditions into my life. I work in a place where I've had occasion to actually be exposed in a newspaper, to be exposed on a radio, to be exposed on TV. And the first time I got interviewed for a newspaper ad, I wanted to proclaim Narcotics Anonymous, a program to save my life. And I talked to my sponsor about it, and I read the literature about it, and I knew that it was not okay for me to go and tell the world that I was a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't mind disclosing my membership here in personal meetings one-on-one, but I can't do it publicly. And I learned that through reading the literature. And I wanted to share this about the principle of attraction rather than promotion. That I was working in a place where I had constant exposure to us. And I had a guy working for me. And, you know, sometimes we are capable of accomplishing a lot of stuff. And this guy came to work for me, and he was doing the work of four or five other men. I just loved Chuck. And I knew Chuck's mother from the program. And after I got to know Chuck, Chuck had been around for a long time, and I went to him one day, and I said, Chuck, look, man, I said, if you feel like you're going to use, I said, if you come to me, I will try my best to talk you out of it. And if I can't talk you out of it, I will try my best to pray you out of it. And if I can't pray you out of it, I'll jump on your back. If you can carry me to the dope man's house, we'll get high together. I was just trying to make fun, and we laughed, and we joked, and he walked out of my office. And a couple of hours later, I needed something done, and I went to look for him, and he was gone and getting high. And I made a conscious decision on the spot that I was going to kill him. I'll show him, I'll get him clean, I'm going to murder him. And so I went on a hunt for Chuck, because I was going to put my hands around his throat and choke him, because I didn't understand why he hadn't come to me. And what happened was that I searched for him for about 2 weeks, literally wanting to beat him up, because he hadn't listened to me. He hadn't come and asked for help. And about 2 weeks later, I found him, and Chuck is one of them addicts who, once he picks up again, he stops bathing, he stops eating, he stops changing his clothes. And I seen him sitting on the side of the road, and I parked the car, and I got out of the car with murder in my heart. And I went over there intending to whoop his butt. And when I got over to him and I got close to him and I saw the condition he was in, all that anger and hatred just melted away. And all I could do was hug him and love him. And I got in the car, and I went home, and I wrestled with that for weeks about how there is an answer for him He had been around the program a lot longer than me, but he couldn't get it. And I couldn't figure out, how am I supposed to help him? What did I do wrong? Where's the missing piece? And I wrestled and I wrestled and I wrestled with that issue. And one day, a couple of weeks later, I was getting ready to go to a meeting, and I was in the bathroom shaving. And I was looking in the mirror, and the weirdest thing happened. The face that was looking back from me in the mirror wasn't my face. It was Chuck's face. And I got a glimpse of how many people have wanted me to get this, and how many people had offered me help, and how many people had prayed for me, and how many people had tried to get me to come here and to stop using. And I got in touch with the fact that it's about attraction rather than promotion. And I can never get anybody clean. I couldn't get myself clean. All I can do is get myself in a position where God can do the work. And all I have to do is ask for help. And I worked, and I still work in an environment where I'm in constant contact with us. Just last Friday morning, I had an opportunity to share at a meeting in Pittsburgh. And I went to work all prayed up spiritual. And I had a guy, he's been around the program for a long time, and he doesn't have any clean time. We're old friends. He's a nice guy. If you met him, you'd like him. And this time when he came in, I asked him to come and pray with me every morning. I don't know what else to do for the brother, but to ask him to pray with me. So every morning, 7:30, we get together and pray. And last Friday morning, he came into my office, and we began to pray. He asked me one question, and I went off, because I know. And I made a mistake of thinking that I knew what he needed to do. And I went off, and he argued, and I went off more, and he argued more, and we went back and forth, and all my spirituality went out of the window. And I had to, as soon as he left, I had to get back on my knees and pray. And I had to pray for him, and I had to pray for me. Because I sometimes make the mistake of thinking I know what other people ought to do. And this program, this tradition is teaching me, it's about attraction rather than promotion. That when somebody sees what I got, if they want it and come and ask me for help, I just may, if everything's right, be able to say something that'll bless them. But it's not up to me who gets it. Sometimes I want to pick and choose who gets the message, and I don't have that power. All I can do is carry the message, and I don't get to pick and choose who gets the message. But I know I just keep coming back here. I keep doing what they told me to do when I got here, and I know it's working for me, and I know that every now and again, God gives me an opportunity to help somebody. I've come to believe that if a man's ready, I can't say anything wrong. And if a man's not ready, I can't say anything right. So I just keep trying to carry the message. The message I'm carrying is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. And the message is hope, and the promise is freedom. Thanks for letting me share.